So again, as I was saying, that one lady was asking for ashirvadam for mukti. That in Bata Kaloa, she was asking for ashirvadam for mukti. Who is that? Is she here? So actually, but I was explaining that bhakti is much more than mukti. Mukti is included in bhakti. It's a byproduct of bhakti. In Sanskrit term, that's called anusangik phalam. It means it comes along, it's a result that comes along automatically with us. Just like, if you're an expert in Shakespeare, it's understood that you already know English. It's automatically, it's included in that. Or yeah. Maybe we can give if you know Tirupavai very well, that means automatically you must know Tamil. Is it, if someone's known to be an authority in Tirupavai, you don't have to ask if he knows Tamil. It's all automatically included. So if you have bhakti, then automatically you have mukti. It's automatically included. Or if you have a crore of rupees, you don't have to ask if you have a lakh of rupees. It's all automatically included. Of course, it's intelligent to want to have mukti, because this material world is miserable. We might think, well, it's only miserable in Tirukoyam. If I go to Germany, it won't be miserable. But what to speak of Germany, even Swargaloka is miserable. Because everywhere in this material world there is birth, death, old age and disease. Actually, if you're in America and you get some disease, it's terrible. They charge so much, the doctors. If you see the doctor's bill, you'll die of heart attack. One devotee of mine, he's born in America, but his wife is from India. So she got a boil. She's living in America with him. She got a boil, which is, it's a fairly common thing. It's not a serious problem. Who's had a boil before? I also had many. I used to eat so much bingum. Then one doctor told me, stop eating, then my boil stopped. You didn't know one had boils? Really, that's... maybe they'll eat. The full boil means with pus in it. I still have the scar. My whole arm is swollen up. So it's very painful. But it's not... Actually, it's painful, but it's not really serious. So anyway, the cheapest quote she got for treating it in America was $10,000. You know, that's like more than a lakh of Sri Lankan rupees. So she thought, well, I can go to India and get it treated for almost nothing and visit my parents, and it'll still, even with the airfare up and down, it'll still be a lot cheaper. So I just have to tolerate the pain for a few days more. So she was, just as she was flying, landing in Delhi, the thing burst. And then she didn't have to pay any doctor. Anyway, the point is there's birth, death, old age and disease everywhere. Maybe you heard of Sri Devi, the famous actress from Tamil Nadu. But she's famous for writing in Hindi films.
In Tamil.
Tamil, first in Tamil and then she went to Bombay. So her mother had some severe brain problem, some pain in the brain, so Sri Devi sent her mother to America for an operation. So she went and she came from Tamil Nadu, but she's famous for writing in Hindi films.
In Tamil.
Tamil, first in Tamil and then she went to Bombay. So her mother had some severe brain problem, some pain in the brain, so Sri Devi sent her mother to America for an operation. So she went and she came back and the same problem was going on. So they sent her back again for another checkup and they said, oh, we operated on the wrong side. So don't think that they're perfect in America. Or that life is better. There's more money, but money doesn't solve all your problems. There's no family life. Parents, many children are born, the woman is not married at all. Or they divorce very soon. There's no, you see, they don't know the word. There's no word in Sanskrit actually for divorce. They made up some word, vivaha vicheda. Or in Hindi they use the the Urdu word imported from the Muslims, talak. Otherwise in Vedic culture there's no such idea. But in the Western world, nowadays most children, they grow up with only one of their parents. So what's the use of having no money if there's, you know, there's not even like basic human family life. But people are so stupid that they think if you have more money and more opportunity for sense gratification, life is better. There's so many organizations after this tsunami, they're coming and bringing money. But they think just by bringing money, they can actually make people's life better. By building buildings, can they give people peace of mind? Of course, there should be schools and hospitals and all these things. But that, it does not, it's in itself, mean that we can be happy. The people here, the Tamil people are saying, we need our human rights. But Vedic culture stresses duty, not rights. Now in the Western countries, everyone has the free right to do so many things. So they're so crazy, they took it so far that a man can marry a man, a woman can marry a woman. In the church, they're marrying two men together. Is it insane or not? But in America, if you say it's insane, it's against the law. They'll put you in prison for saying that. So, it's human rights. They take it too far. What is our duty? That is the first thing we should consider. Just like they say also, women should have full freedom to do whatever they like. But no one has full freedom to do whatever they like. Everyone should be very responsible. We want so much freedom, but actually human life is meant for responsibility. So women especially have the great responsibility of looking after children. But in the name of free rights, they're running around and, you know, they're going to parties and having boyfriends and they don't look after their children. This is the Western world. Even you see this, Vasudev Datta, he's from Slovenia, which was previously a socialist. He was kind of in the communist bloc. They were more or less still part of the communist world. They were communists. I mean, Tito was definitely a communist. He wasn't. Now it's opened to the Western world, and I mean, I've been going there for many years. Also, you can see the difference. How people, they even in the communist world, it wasn't religious at all, but it was at least there were some restrictions. But in the name of freedom, they show all pornography and they, you know, men and women kissing on the street. They used to do it in the communist time? Maybe that they did, yeah. I mean, you can't really imagine how degraded, how culturally degraded the Western world is unless you go there. I'm not even telling you all the things because, you know, it's not really fit to be told. So in many ways, actually, I mean, for spiritual life, in many ways, Sri Lanka is better than India. Because in India, both the TV and cinema are totally degraded. And people are just full of calm, crowd and lobe. Just the whole culture is so materialistic. So it is intelligent to want liberation from this material world. And actually, if there's some consciousness of the miseries of this world, that is an incentive to get out of it. But in the modern civilization, which includes India, which is modernized now, there's this whole idea that you just enjoy everything so wonderful. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. But people, they can't even perceive that they're suffering. They're just so busy that you drink some beer, and then you go to a party, and then you find a girlfriend and you're just so busy enjoying that you don't realize that inside you're completely miserable. And so many people have mental disorders, so many people commit suicide. They're actually, even though they have the rights and the money and everything, but they're actually much more miserable than people here. Because at least here people, they have some concept of God. And the people here have a concept of God. At least they have, you know, family life, which, you know, they have stable family life. The parents look after their children. Well, you think that's normal, isn't it? The parents should look after their children. But in the Western countries, they don't. Children come home from school, there's no mother, there's no father, the house is empty. They have a key, they're called latchkey children, chubby children. They have the key to the home, and they come home, there's no one there. Same thing in India now, and so many children in India now having psychological problems. So it is intelligent to want mukti, that's true. To understand that this material world is miserable. But that there is a better place beyond this. There is Vaikuntha. There is the place where Krishna is living. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha lakshavriteshu surabhirabhipalayantam lakshmi sahasrashata sambrahma sevyamanam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Please give the translation to this beautiful verse. Venung vanantamaravinda dalayatakshambar bharhavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam Tandarapa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Can you remember the translation to this? So, those who are spiritually advanced, they aspire to go to the spiritual world. Om tad vishno paramam padam sada pashyanti surayo diviva chakshura tatam yajjivangre. How is that the first thing? Tad viprasa jagri vamsa samindate vishno yat paramam padam. That, so you know, you can give the translation to this also. This those who are suras, they're always looking towards the spiritual world. Vishno paramam om tad vishno paramam padam sada pashyanti surya. The godly people, they're always looking towards the Parampadam, the place of Vishnu, the spiritual world, that resplendent abode which shines like the sun, that is the abode of Lord Vishnu. So as I was saying, mukti, that automatically comes from mukti. If we simply think how to satisfy Krishna, then Krishna will take us to Him. So, it's intelligent to want mukti, that's the first stage to want to get out of this material world. But then we should realize what happens after mukti. People think you're just kind of floating in space doing nothing. But mukti means muktir hitvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. Mukti doesn't mean floating in space doing nothing. It means serving Krishna. So bhakti practiced in this world prepares us for entering the spiritual world. Once Srila Prabhupada asked, someone asked Prabhupada, what does this chanting lead to? Prabhupada said, more chanting. It is not simply a means to an end. But by doing bhakti, we get taste for doing bhakti, and then we just go on doing bhakti. In this world, persons who perform shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, pada, sevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atma, nivedanam, they go to the spiritual world, and there they continue doing shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, pada, sevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atma, nivedanam. But in this material world, there is danger at every step. There's no guarantee of any safe position. You may think, well, I'll go to a place which is more safe. And there's no place in this material world where one can escape birth, death, old age, and disease. The only safe position is at the lotus feet of Krishna. Some people were telling us, myself and the Kinchan Krishna Prabhu, don't go to Sri Lanka, it's not safe. Where is safe in the material world? Of course we have to exercise some discrimination also. Some people were telling us, myself and the Kinchan Krishna Prabhu, don't go to Sri Lanka, it's not safe. Where is safe in the material world? Of course, we have to exercise some discrimination also. For instance, it wouldn't be advisable to do public Harinam Sankirtan in Saudi Arabia, because it's highly likely that you would be executed for doing so. So then you wouldn't be able to preach anymore. That actually happened more than once to some of our devotees who were preaching in Muslim countries. They were distributing Bhagavad Gita in Arabic in Lebanon, where some local Muslim group captured them and had them dig their own graves, and then stood them up and with the gun pointing at them, and they said, "Okay, now you go, don't come back." Another time they came from Spain, I think by ferry they came with a van, I think it was to Algeria, and the customs looked, they checked, they saw all the books, and they told them, "Okay, you come out of the van." They took them out of the van, and they burned the whole van with all the books, and said, "Now you go back to your country." So, some discrimination should be there. But if we say, if we're not prepared to take any risk, then we can't preach Krishna consciousness. But on the other hand, if we think we shall remain safe, then where is safe? You can, you know, any time you can just be walking on the street and, you know, some vehicle can go out of control and kill you, or you can, a bull can attack you. So where is safe? In America, there are so many road accidents, so many people die, I think. You can, you know, any time you can just be walking on the street and, you know, some vehicle can go out of control and kill you, or you can, a bull can attack you. So where is safe? In America, there are so many road accidents, so many people die, I think 20,000 people a year die in the road accidents. But more people die from accidents at home. It's like electrocution or with a chainsaw, you know, they misuse the chainsaw, or the child drinks some medicine or something, so many things. Or the gas is on and they don't realize they left the match and the whole thing explodes. Or they're on a high apartment building and they, you know, they slip off or something, so many things. So where is safe in this material world? Even if you surround yourself with a fort and still you have to die. No one can escape. But a devotee escapes death by taking shelter of Krishna. For a devotee, death is not fearful. For a devotee, death is just like you go to sleep and you wake up and you're with Krishna. That's all. So please chant Hare Krishna. That's the conclusion of all our lectures. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any question, please? Who is Sadashiva? Sadashiva is Vishnu. Shiva means auspicious. And Shiva means Soma, Umapati, Shankar, Mahadev. There are so many names for him. Rudra, yeah, so many names. But Vishnu is called Sadashiva. Because although Shiva means Mangalam, Shubham, but sometimes he has some activities because he's involved very much with the material world, and material world is inauspicious. So sometimes he has activities which are inauspicious, or seemingly inauspicious. But Vishnu is called Sadashiv because he has no direct involvement in this material world. That is Krishna's mercy. Actually, for a devotee, there's no more karmic reaction. But there is an appearance of karmic reaction for various reasons. One reason is because often we surrender, but we don't fully surrender. We're still maintaining some hope of material happiness. So some material difficulty reminds the devotee that actually I meant to serve Krishna. This material world is miserable. I was talking about boils and I was looking at my arm because I was remembering I had huge swollen up, there's still just a little scar, but I had a huge swollen up arm from one boil. So this particular one was in 1977. It must have been September 1977 in Delhi I had this. So one evening I walked from our temple to the government hospital, which was filthy, dirty, with all piles of bandages, used bandages and blood and flies. So then they got this guy who wasn't even a doctor, he was just some worker there. He said, "Hey, you cut it." So by some force I got him to first clean the blade. and to throw away the bidi that he was smoking. So then he cut it with no anesthetic, and I can tell you that was extremely painful. Just, anyway, there's no word to describe it. So anyway, they cleaned it up, which was also just extremely painful. The whole thing was just extreme. So I was walking back with all this bandage, and it was just, the pain was just... So I thought at the time that, you know, I must have been going through this. Material life means suffering like this, birth after birth. I thought I'd better be serious and get out of this material world. So, that's Krishna's mercy, to make us more serious. Or even a great pure devotee like Prabhupada may appear to suffer from some sickness. But that is described, jato deko vaishnave bebohara dukhnis choitene taneho taha parananda sukh. If you see a great devotee and you think that they, it may look like they're suffering, but actually that's just another phase of their transcendental bliss. Because in their apparent sickness or difficulty, they remain fully fixed in serving Krishna. And in this way they teach us that we should remain fixed in serving Krishna in all circumstances. So many times people come to me and they say, oh, I have so many difficulties. And I say, I know. Because everyone in this material world, or they come and say, I have so many difficulties, I say, very good. Now you understand that this material world is miserable, and you surrender to Krishna. Not just by saying I surrender, but actually surrender. Surrender means we should fully...
Yeah.
Because everyone in this material world is miserable. Or they come and say, I have so many difficulties, I say, very good. Now you understand that this material world is miserable, and you... surrender to Krishna. Not just by saying I surrender, but actually surrender. Surrender means we should fully engage mind, body and words in the service of Krishna without any other desire.